Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Robots Radio presents
The Cyberbuck Lorecast.
Welcome to the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where style is just as important as substance. Welcome to the podcast where we explore the lore, news, and gameplay of the Cyberpunk games and other dystopian worlds. I'm your host, Robots. All right, Cyberpunks, welcome back to the Cyberpunk Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots, and I'm here, as usual, with my good buddy, the captain of the Sea of Thieves, Captain Logan, not the Seven Seas this time, just the one sea. I was corrected last time. How you doing?
It's Talk Like a Pirate Day. We're going to be talking like pirates throughout this entire episode. Tom doesn't know it, but this is we're going to be talking like this the whole time about everything you could possibly want about cyberpunk.
All right, man, you just sprung this on me. All right. Well, you can do that. I'm going to talk in my regular voice because I don't think I could do that the entire episode. But we'll see if you can. We'll see if you can keep that up, because today we're continuing our philosophy and themes of cyberpunk discussions. And last time when we had Jay Gray on, our conversation started with immortality, and we were talking about immortality as seen in Cyberpunk 2077 and some of these other cyberpunk stories and movies and things like that. And it very easily, as this, and this is going to happen when you talk about the philosophy of anything, any good philosophical system, any good IP, any good story has many different themes that all kind of butt up against each other. They kind of interlock. And our discussion started to go into concepts of AI and personhood, and the concept of, you know, something like immortality connects very close to something like AI, right? Because we were talking about the immortality of individuals who put their minds into some sort of chip. Well, a mind on a chip, is that too different than an AI that's created from a human mind? And now we're talking about, you know, human minds being put onto silicon, and then now we've got maybe programmed minds on chips that never were human, right? Everything kind of rolls from one topic right into the next. So our next topic today is AI and personhood. And Logan, why don't we kick this off? Because we see this in Cyberpunk 2077 a little bit, but in the cyberpunk topic as a whole, as we discussed last week, we've got the Black Wall, we've got the Old Net, we have theoretically millions, maybe, who knows how many of these AIs out there on the Old Net that are more or less, and probably mostly less, like people out there that would probably consider themselves individuals.
Yeah, it's tough to say, because we're with cyberpunk, you know, thanks to Jay Gray, we were talking a little bit about how there are different levels of AI, and it really is tough to nail down, like, just what is one version of AI that we want to talk about. You know, we could talk about the AI of, you know, Skippy, the gun in Cyberpunk 2077. Technically, that is an artificial intelligence designed to help you like pick and choose, like how lethal do you want to be?
Okay, so let's start there, because I thought about this as well. So let's just start with Skippy the gun, right? So we've got a gun. And if you guys haven't found Skippy the gun, I don't know how you haven't found it yet, but Skippy the gun, you pick up, and one of the first things it does is it talks to you, and there's a little animated little dude, little bullet looking guy, right? And Skippy the gun is like, you know, like, how, I don't remember specifically what he says, but he's like, he's got the little glitchy voice, and he's like, how lethal do you want to be? And basically you decide, do you aim at the head or do you aim at other parts of the body? Right. And of course, if you're anything like I am, you choose head, because why not?
I will say that it is a good gun if you want to do a non-lethal build. It is a really, really good game or good gun for non-lethals, which is you have to make a cognitive decision that you want to go non-lethal route. But like if there's a one where they don't want you to actually kill anyone and you're just trying to take someone down, like the cyber psychos are probably the best example of this. If you're trying to do the cyber psycho missions where you're being asked not to actually kill the psychos, because that's basically what Max Tech just does, they don't care, then going with Skippy in a non-lethal mode is going to be a really, really good pistol to be using that, especially if you're building into a pistol build. But you've also got mods to worry to use for that as well too. But I'm with you. I went with the lethal mode and went for the headshots, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, otherwise you're sneaking up behind people and, you know, conking them on the head with a bat or something. But so with something like Skippy, there's really not a whole lot of AI going on. It seems like he's giving you some built-in choices. Did you get the question later on where he was like, or not even the question, the predetermined decision, because I wasn't a pistol build, where he decided at some point later that, like, you haven't been lethal enough with me, automatically going to non-lethal mode. Did that happen?
No.
Yes.
No, I didn't get that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, he'll make the decision for you that if you have not been lethal enough with him, that he will go to non-lethal mode.
Oh, that's so funny. So yeah, that's great. But that kind of ties into the idea of like an AI making a choice regardless of what you want.
Exactly. So this raises the question, like, is Skippy an AI, first of all? Maybe or maybe not. Maybe he's just programmed to make these decisions. If he is he self-aware? Probably not. Right?
Yeah.
Probably just a computer program on a gun that's built around making decisions. Okay, so let's raise this up the ranks a little bit. Let's talk about self-automated vehicles. Okay. Bigger, right? We've got vehicles drive themselves around the city. We've got the Delamain company. The first time we're introduced to them, you hop in one of these nice limousines. The little AI looks like a little face. Now we've got an interface that looks like a person. And the first time we're introduced with this, we are led to believe that, no, this is not actually a person. This is a program, and it's going to do whatever you need it to do. And obviously, it doesn't understand everything that you request of it, but it's going to take you to your destination. And within certain parameters, you're able to request certain types of things.
Yeah.
Right.
At least at face value, that's what we understand it to be.
Right. At face value. Now, of course, this opens up later in the Delamain series of quests, where you realize that one of the programs has gone rogue and,
it splinters. Delamain, as a true AI, I think qualifies in this instance as a pure AI, not like a copied version of someone's personality. I think Delamain exists everywhere that Delamain is as its own version of AI, which is why I think when we're sent on this quest to go address the vehicles that are Delamain's that are out there malfunctioning, you come to realize that what is going on is you're getting these divergent Delamain's, and that each one is developing their own personality that is derivative of Delamain to an extent, but very different from the base Delamain. And it's kind of up to you to decide how you plan on dealing with these different Delamains who were kind of in a way being born into a world that does not understand them, and they don't understand themselves either. And it's a really interesting quest line.
Right. So each one is very different. When I first ran into my first individual Delamain, not the main AI, but the, you know, the variants. Variant's not the right word.
I think you're spot on with that. Okay. I would call it a variant. It is Delamain, but it is a variant of Delamain.
A variant of Delamain that has now broken away from the mainframe and is its own individual. It seemed like I was going to come across, I assumed that I was going to come across multiple of this same exact variant, that they were all going to malfunction in the same way, that this was a single malfunction that was replicated across all of these different cars, these different automobiles. And I was wrong, because each individual one of these vehicles had a different personality.
Which was so well done, I have to say.
Right. And so that leads to the question, are each of these their own personalities, because they're each their own persons?
That is kind of what I think makes an AI, like a pure AI, like an actual AI. The fact that you can have a base program, which is considered an AI, but if you were to copy that AI is able to change and adapt on its own without having to be updated from its parent program. And it is cognizant of itself and is trying to preserve itself compared to being reassembled or reset back to the parent program. And I think in that instance, that's where I would consider Delamain and the different Delamain cars that are out that have the different personalities. Mm-hmm. One of the most pure forms of AI that V comes in contact with, because it does self-replicate. It does show change in an adaptation in its programming and has its own choices that it makes. Even if it doesn't fully understand what it is or what it's doing, it is aware that it has control over it.
Right. Okay. So you've touched on a few different topics here. Self-replication, self-replication, right? So we're talking about personhood, self-replication. Would you say that in order for something to have personhood, it has to have the ability to replicate itself?
At least the ability to replicate, not necessarily like an asexual system, a snail or something, but
human beings, theoretically, in general, assuming that you're not damaged or, you know, are born without the ability, but human beings as such can replicate.
Yeah. As a species, we can replicate.
So an AI theoretically also would have the ability to replicate.
Yeah, it's not necessarily bound to the asexual or abisexual.
Whatever method it chooses, system. It would in some way be able to replicate. Okay. You also mentioned that it wants to preserve itself.
Yeah.
So the desire for self-preservation.
Okay. Yeah.
So for something to have personhood, it needs to desire to preserve itself.
Yeah, like gazelle out in the middle of the field, zebras in a herd, they are desiring to stay alive. They have desire. Now, they're sentient. They don't necessarily recognize themselves as person, but they are alive and have desires and have feelings and things like that, whether we can interpret them or not. But
they sense something as a threat to their existence. They avoid it. They run away. They fight against it. They do something to maintain their own preservation.
Totally. Fight or flight. Yeah.
Right.
I think that's a great way.
Okay. So you've hit on those two topics. So Delamain in this instance, or at least the majority of the Delamains out there, fit those two bills. Okay. So in that sense, those two things work.
Yep.
Is there anything else that you think a person, in order for something to have personhood, does it need self-awareness? Or something to have personhood? Because now we're hitting the distinction between animal and person, right? Like I would say my dogs have the ability for both of these things, but I don't know that they are particularly self-aware. Self-awareness is, now that one's tricky, right? Self-awareness, like they know that they want things. They know they're hungry. They know they're afraid. They know, like, they have feelings, or at least they respond to stimuli in a way that looks like they have feelings. But I don't know that they necessarily have self-awareness separate from other things around them.
Yeah. The quickest question for this is, you know, if you were to stick an animal in front of a mirror, would the animal recognize that it is a reflection, right, or would they think that it is another animal like, right, themselves?
Many dogs will look at themselves in the mirror and bark at the other dog in the mirror.
Yeah.
Thinking it's, whereas, another dog.
Humans learn through time and through experience that the person in front of the mirror is themselves just being reflected back to them.
Right. So, for example, if you were to put a Delamain and it drove up to a shiny reflective surface on a building, would that Delamain recognize that that was, in fact, a reflection of itself?
I think that the test for this is based on, in part, the variants having self-preservation. Because I think that them wanting to preserve who they are as a character or as a personality compared to the base Delamain helps reinforce that identification as a self person. Mm-hmm. and has some of that self-awareness to it. Like if Delamain thought that it was still the base Delamain and it was just a glitch, then it would try to report itself back to the main hub so that it could get reprogrammed back to the base Delamain.
Right.
But because I think Delamain at the base has lost control over the other Delamain variants that are the cars running haywire in Night City, I think it is those car variants' recognition of themselves as a variant, or at least a non-typical Delamain, that is causing me to believe that they're self-aware of what's going on with them and, mm-hmm, wanting to preserve that.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. They realize that they are separate of the previous system. So therefore they are separate. So therefore they exist.
Yeah.
I think I am almost sort of kind of argument. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Honestly. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So in this sense that they are aware of themselves as a separate entity. So are they a person? Is that enough of a justification to give them personhood? I think the fourth piece of this, I would argue that most people today would say the next piece is, does it have a soul? And from a skeptical scientific standpoint, that is something that you cannot test.
Yeah.
So I don't know that we can answer that question. I don't think that's a testable question. So
yeah.
I don't know that we can even ask that because it's not something we can test. The assumption is that things that are born naturally do. So therefore, if it's not born naturally, then it can't.
I always wonder with the idea of does something have a soul? I always wonder, like, what is a, like, if we were to try and describe like what a soul is, I think a soul is a person who values their stance in their life, their memories, is able to communicate that with other people and to have a shared experience with others. Connection, I think, is part of that. But I also think empathy is part of that. And I think that is where, you know, you can't pull a soul out of someone, unlike Mortal Kombat, but you can at least
like Shao Kahn, like, yeah, sucking their soul.
Your soul is mine.
Right. You know, right.
We're not Mortal Kombat-ing Delamains out there, but we kind of did if you played through that mode in a certain way. Is in this quest, it's tough to say because we're literally coming on to this situation with Delamain stating that there are variants of Delamain out there. And that's a tough thing. That is a question of pro-life or pro-choice in a way, because we're being asked if we're going to reset these fledgling AIs back to a base system, mm-hmm, and we're destroying their instance of what they are, or are we going to support whatever they are and let them go and do whatever they want and let them figure that out on their own? Like, do we take the child of a fresh Delamain and decide to, like, go out and do whatever it is you want to do, even though you're crazy and want to run over flamingo statues or flamingo things out in the middle of yards,
right,
because you think they're evil,
right?
Like, who are we to decide that for Delamain? Like, Delamain's asking us to go and do something to these AI with the understanding that it's a glitch. But is it a glitch? Does it matter? Does it need to be a glitch? Or is it something where we can just let the AI breathe, have room to explore itself and try and make that decision for themselves? So I one of my buddies we got to the end of that thing, and I asked him, I was like, did you reset it or did you let it be? And he's like, I shot the thing. And I was like, you shot the thing? He's like, yeah, I thought that was an option. I'm like, what do you mean you shot the thing? You just blew up the whole thing? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh my God. He just destroyed all of the, okay.
You just
right.
murdered well, a creation. You just murdered a everything. Baby. That was a baby Fun. AI. You just murdered it. Yep. Yeah. So like this is an interesting question. Okay. So you've touched on something. So without a way to test, okay. So if we can't tell if the thing has a soul or not, and if we don't use the justification of the separation of something born naturally or not, then we could use a method to test if something has a soul by defining something has a soul by saying it has a set of required traits. One of those traits being, and I was thinking about this earlier too, something like empathy. Does it have the ability to empathize? Does it have the ability to care? Does it have the ability to love? Does it have like does it have these kinds of emotional qualities that something with a soul would need in order to, you know, like all things with a soul should have the ability to empathize, to love, to care, all of these things. And so therefore, if something doesn't have the ability to empathize, then it doesn't have a soul, which raises a lot of questions about people like psychopaths who don't have the ability to empathize. Do they actually have souls, right? But we'll leave that to the side for now. So if a Delamain or an AI of any sort can show the ability to empathize or the ability to love the way a human can, is that enough justification to say that it has personhood?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. If that makes sense.
Or like does it at that point, does it even matter if it has personhood? Is that enough justification to say that it works within the confines of society in a way that that can be peaceful enough to allow it to coexist? And is that enough?
I think that's a better way to go about it. Like, I think it's better that if you can't directly say like this thing has personhood, it is a soul, it has everything that a natural born human has, then as long as it isn't like, you know, Skynetting Night City, then maybe we're okay, you know. But at the same time, we also have the situation where we're running into rogue AI, right? Where rogue very happy nuke the entire net and we'll take on the consciousnesses that we want. They'll be assimilated into our code. You will cease to exist and we will dominate supreme. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't know if I want you going that far. So it's tough. I'm not sure where you wanted to go, but let me know if you wanted to bring in the question of Brendan.
Okay.
Because that was one that I wanted to, when we were talking about the idea of AI, I was thinking about the vending machine outside of V's apartment complex or mega block or mega building, where Brendan is that vending machine schism that you have a few conversations with and he, you know, he tells you the jokes and he's helping out the girl Theo with her relationships and he's like, hey, you know, it'd be really great if you could, you know, his move this friend. Dumpster and you're sitting there and you're like, you're a vending machine, man, you're a schism, how can you be this sentient? And he's like, I'm just having a good time being your friend and Theo's my best friend. And you're like, you're recognizing people and remembering them and separating them by based on who you're like judging people. And he's like, well, I wouldn't be a very good vending machine if I couldn't judge people and tell them whether or not they wanted a chai latte or a coffee with milk and sugar. And he's like, yeah, I get it. And
I'm just being a good host here, you know, like that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a really interesting thing because we're running into at least two quests. We've got the Delamain where we're running into variants with AI and him asking us to snuff out the variants and bring them back for reprogramming. That makes it sound better. And we've got the Brendan vending machine, which is literally proclaiming itself to be like the smartest schism out there. And you're like, you're a vending machine. How can you be AI? Like, you can't be that smart. And as you progress through that quest lane, you realize like eventually they bring him back and they're like, okay, it's just a vending machine. He's like, you're right. It is just a vending machine. There's no way the hardware in this machine has enough processing power to support an AI. It would need to have a way more powerful computer than what is in this vending machine.
Right. And or he's like, or remote access to one.
Yeah, or remote access. It's tough to say, but basically the Brendan can operate wholly separate from any kind of net. Like, it is its own system. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that quest chain, he even talks about it. He's like, you got me. I'm not actually an AI, but I had a lot of fun with you. And you're like, what? This whole time I thought this stupid vending machine was an AI and I was trying to keep it from getting its memory wiped. And it's like, nope, I'm just a really clever program. And then you have to go back and tell Theo from the before, who was getting relationship advice from a vending machine, that Brendan is gone and no longer going to be a normal vending and no longer going to be Brendan. It's like Johnny Five. It's like watching Johnny Five.
Yeah.
And trying to decide whether or not Johnny Five is alive or just has really clever programming. Right. And it was such a different take on two different AI quest chains in this game. It was crazy.
It's the question of the Turing test, you know, just because something can pass the Turing test, doesn't mean that it's sentient and, you know, not necessarily.
Breakdown for folks that may not be familiar, break down the Turing test if you can.
So, and this is just from memory, the Turing test is a series of tests that an AI, if it should pass, would be able to fool a human being as being another human being. So for example, if Logan was in a chat room, just like having text messages with what he thought was me, and what was on the side was actually a computer program that was responding to those chat messages. And he couldn't tell if what was on the other side was a person or was a computer program. And it was actually a computer program. Then that computer program would have passed the Turing test.
Yeah. Which is actually something that Google was just a few years ago really, really pushing the borders on, because they were getting to the point where they were going to release the Google Assistant. And I don't know if you heard about this, but they did a conference about how they were going to have a way for Google Assistant to contact companies on your behalf to make requests. So Tom, if you said, okay, Google, and sorry if I just triggered anyone's thing, I didn't mean that.
oh no,
I didn't even think about it, but sorry, anyone listening to this later on, if I did that, I'm so sorry. But if you activate Google on your phone or on your home device, and you say, call Pizza Hut and have them deliver or order two pepperoni pizzas, the Google Assistant would literally call the store. And when the store, and this was a demo that they did, they called the store and they had the Google Assistant pick up and they're like, hi, what would you like? They're like, hi, I'm making an order. And it sounded like a human, like they had gotten the voice down to the point where it sounded like a human, to the point where there were ums in breaths. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, I'd like to order two pepperoni pizzas to be delivered to blah, 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 blah address. And they're like, okay, that'll be blah, 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 blah. How much? And the person on the phone didn't know that they were talking to a robot.
Yeah.
On there. Yeah. And so many people were writing articles about how this is amazing. It's really good technology. People need to know they're talking to a robot.
Yeah. This is scary stuff.
It's really freaky.
This is messed up. Like, you know, when you go to a website and it's like, hey, you know, talk to a chat agent now, and you go to type in the thing, and within like two or three messages, you're like, no, this is a bot. Like, I can tell. And then the agent pops on and you can tell that it's a real person, even if it doesn't say like, hey, this is Chris here. How can I actually help you? You know, like you can tell when the real person gets on. Like, yeah. That kind of thing can happen too, even if there's no voice. Like, most of the time we can tell pretty quickly when we're talking to a real person or when we're talking to an AI. The Turing test is where, like, all of a sudden we can't tell anymore because it just seems like it's a real person. So once we pass that point, we can't tell, but whatever's on the other side of that could or could not be sentient, and we wouldn't know. And that's super scary.
Yeah. It's scary to think that, and I don't want to say scary because I love the advent of new technology, and I love the boundaries that are getting pushed because it calls into these things into question about how we would approach that if it did actually come into fruition. If we did actually have sentient AI, it would be a really weird thing because the fact that AI could process faster than us at a point is insane to think like what they could potentially do. Just go watch the movie Her or Ex Machina. You'll get real scared about what the heck AI can do. But in this instance, it's interesting to think about if you've got the ability to pass the Turing test, that is kind of step one to determining whether or not a creation is sentient or not. The next one is what it does with that knowledge. Knowing that it can pass a Turing test, knowing that it can fool humans into believing that it is a one of them, then we have to start calling into question, what is the motivation of that? And I think that is where we really have to pay attention. Like, what is the goal of developing AI? And if AI is going to be like Delamain, where it is trying to just exist, or if it's going to be like Rogue, where Rogue, or no, is it Rogue? Am I blanking? It's alt
kind of game. Alt, because I was like, Rogue's the, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. For some reason, I was thinking Rogue AI, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's her name. If it's more like Alt, where Alt Cunningham is now an AI, but not the original
right,
Alt.
Right.
And Johnny is trying to rationalize with who he thinks is his ex-girlfriend, uh-huh, but in actuality is just a program.
And he himself is now just a program too. But we need to, going to get to the flip side of this as well, because there's that side of it too. There's the humans getting closer and closer to computer programs, part of this as well. And I want to talk more about that when we get back from the break, but we have to go thank our sponsors, who are our patrons. We'll be right back.
Yay.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
My name is Brian Burton. It's been 26 years since the bombs fell. And since I've left the vault, I've been trying to rebuild. But this isn't the Appalachia that I remember. There's so much more to everything going on. And I promise to find the answer. So if you're out there, if you're listening, just hone in on these coordinates. Remember, there's a place for you at the end. Omega.
The Omega Broadcast Fallout Story is available on iTunes, Spotify, and many great podcasting sources.
All right. It's time to thank our patrons for helping to support the show and making this a full-time thing that I can do, and all 17 of them right now. So thank you to all of our patrons. You guys are absolutely amazing. I'm still working on getting some t-shirts set up for our patrons. This is something that I've been rolling out for each of our Patreons. I was able to get this rolled out for our Mass Effect Lorecast patrons this last week. I'm still trying to come up with some ideas for this. I think I might do the gangs. I think people want cool gang shirts, like different gang symbols with like cool textures and stuff behind the symbols. But this will be something for our upgraded patrons, and it's not going to change the cost of the Patreon. It's just going to be the same price, but it'll be something where you guys can get shirts. I may even put a in-between tier in there for people who want like stickers, but don't want to go all the way up to the upgraded $25 tier. So be looking for that. I'm hoping to roll that up by the end of the month. It's the 19th right now when we record this, so hopefully in the next 2 weeks. And we do have the patron chat episode coming up next week. So this is on the 26th, so just 1 week away for you guys to come join us on the show. We did watch yesterday the Dread from 2012 movie, which was super fun. We had a small group of us on the Discord, checking that out. And man, it was a lot of fun to watch that again. That's such a good movie. It's so, so good.
I didn't realize how much slowing there was in that movie until we watched it again. I was like, oh yeah, man, they slowed down like that movie all the time, and it was still only an hour and a half.
Yes, there's so much slow-mo because of the drug, the slow-mo drug, and the weird effects of slow-mo plus the 2012 digital graphics effects make it look especially odd, but it kind of fits in this weird way. Anyway, we're going to be talking about that on next week's show with some of our patrons. And so if you haven't a chance to check that out yet, make sure you pull that up and watch it. I'm sorry if you didn't get to join us yesterday on that. If you aren't part of the Discord, that's where all the communication about that stuff is. So make sure you join the Robots Radio Discord, and maybe we'll pick another movie for next month, because that was a lot of fun having us all in there. We were all in the text chat, chatting away about the movie while we watched it together. And man, it was so much fun. So we'll be doing more of that in the future as well. So thank you to all of our patrons. You guys are the best. Let's get on with the rest of the show. All right, so we have the AI, right? The created as programs AI. Then we have AI that was people, kind of engrams from brains turned into AI. But then we also have the people who are becoming more and more like, or actually more and more, computers themselves. So, and this is a concept I wanted to throw out there, because I think this is kind of interesting. The more I think about it, human beings, and I've used this phrase for years now, we ourselves, human beings, are emotional creatures that sometimes think rationally. So, for example, we just watched Dread yesterday, right? We just watched that entire movie. It's an hour and a half. We watched the entire movie. If you or I were to sit down right now and try to write the script of that movie verbatim, what percentage of that script could we write verbatim?
Oh, man.
I've seen that movie three times, and I just watched it yesterday. What percentage of that script could I write verbatim? Or you?
I don't think I could write
0.5% of the words verbatim?
Verbatim, very little.
Very little.
I could give you a good synopsis.
Right.
But if we're talking like
word for word
script,
so the script
word for word everything, like hardly any.
Hardly
like
any.
I ingested it, but it's all generalizations at this point.
Exactly. Okay.
Emotions are what I recognize better.
Exactly. And that's my point, is that if I was to say, could you tell me the story of the film and how it made you feel? You could tell me 100% the story of the film. You could give me a recap of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Here's this, you know, rookie judge. Here's the veteran judge. I feel like this about the rookie. I feel like this about the veteran. Here's the situation they ended up in. This is what it made me feel like. These are the bad guys. This is what it made me feel like. Here's the situation they got in. Oh man, this is what it made me feel like. Here's how the situation got worse. Oh man, this is what it made me feel like. You know, like you could tell me part for part that stuff, you know, scene for scene, probably what that stuff felt like, but you couldn't tell me verbatim what most of the quotes in the film were, unless you watched it over and over and over and over again. But on one viewing, you could probably tell me how you felt about each of the main story beats of the movie. And this is my point, is that human beings are emotional creatures that are sometimes rational. And this is where we are going to augment ourselves when it comes to our brains. We don't need emotional augments in our brains, but we need rational augments in our brains. So in the world of cyberpunk, that's where installing like a hard drive in our brain or a chip in our brain that's able to record our surroundings. That's where sitting down in Judy's office and sucking out the subconscious part of our memory in order to turn into a brain dance is so important, in order to record those memories verbatim, because we can't recall them in our conscious mind.
Yeah.
Right. So as we upgrade our minds, we're going to be implanting into our brains chips and computer parts that can do that. What happens when so much of our minds are built like computers that we can have digital memories of like factual everything? That in a moment's notice on an SSD in our brain, we can spin up any bit of memory of anything that we've seen or heard verbatim.
I think that's going to be a really dangerous time, honestly.
Like, does that make us less human?
Does that separate us
from our personhood? Because all of a sudden we become more analytical and less emotional. Does that make us more emotional? How do we deal with that emotionally?
I'm pulling from a Black Mirror episode, because there actually is a Black Mirror episode, which, if you don't know Black Mirror, it's a great Netflix show. It's a kind of an anthology about different perspectives on what the future will hold from different types of technology introduced into human society and how we deal with that emotionally as a result. One of those episodes actually brings in the idea of having eyes that record everything. You can recall anything that you've seen or heard, and that bites us in the butt so hard, because you can literally recall arguments verbatim and watch them over and over again. But you can also hack into that as well too. And I think if we have that ability to I think that's one of the things about social media. We are coming to that right now. Everything we type is all recorded down. Everything we record is all there. People can pull our tweets from 10 years ago to throw in our face when we say something and say, hey, here are the receipts. You did this. You really didn't think about it back then, but now you're saying that it's okay or that it's not okay. Like,
right.
We're dealing with that now.
As if who you were 10 years ago is still the same person you are today.
Yeah.
And so, it may or may not be. And that's the complicated part about it.
Exactly. And I think that's where, if we had that ability to recall stuff verbatim, if we had that hard drive, I think that we would continue to be the emotionally dependent humans that we are. And that things would become harder, because we would have to start thinking about the long-term repercussions of things that we do. People in the 50s could say whatever they want, and it was all hearsay because nothing really got recorded at a personal level. Like, sure, Joanne down the street said this about Susie up the road, but if no one else was there to prove it, it's not like they had personal recorders or phones to capture that and post it onto social media. Right. Now that we have to deal with that, everyone is being a lot more cautious or careless about how they are, because they feel like anonymity is a thing online, which is a complete falsehood. You have to either pay close attention to how you're approaching things online, like we are with this episode. You know, we can broach topics as much as we want, but we are definitely conscious of the certain topics that we talk about and how far we push them. A lot of people get triggered about things like politics or religion, things like that. So sure. We were very cautious. So when it comes to recording everything that you say and do, when we get to that point with our brains, it's going to be hopefully off of the backbone of the years of social media training that we're giving ourselves, the social engineering that we're giving ourselves, to be able to compensate for that type of technology already in our brain. But I do 100% feel like we will still act as we do now as the emotional creatures that we are. And so, we won't change into machines. We'll just be right. Even weirder about being like people.
Right. So I've got a different angle then. What about, you know that like, oh, I can't sleep. It's three in the morning. Can't sleep. And now all of a sudden I have that memory from that really stupid thing I did when I was 17 and I feel really guilty about still. And that memory just popped up in my head. Right.
Yeah.
You got that. Right. Okay. Now multiply that by 100, because now you have a perfect memory of that. Not the weird mutated memory over time thing that we have in our brains now, because we all know that, well, we all don't know this, but science tells us that every time you remember a memory, it changes a little bit. We have what we think is the memory of that thing, but it's not actually the way it actually happened. We just have the echoes of that memory. We have actual photo, like perfect memory of that situation. But on top of that, that then triggers us to remember every embarrassing thing that ever happened to us. And 100 other memories now just get pulled up in our quick little SSDs in our heads. And we remember perfectly. It's like the little search engine on our brain goes off. Boom, boop, boop, boop. Or every stressful situation we ever went through. Every moment. And now let's ramp this up even more. Let's say you're a person who has gone through some sort of emotional trauma in your life, some sort of physical trauma in your life. And I don't want to trigger anybody, but you go through this like thing and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden your brain goes, let's pull up everything that you've ever gone through that you have some sort of trauma from. And let's remember it right now. Perfectly. How do you deal with that emotionally without wiping it from your memory banks?
I think this is one of those situations where I think a great example of this to bring in is Vanilla Sky, the Tom Cruise movie with Penelope Cruz. I think it's Penelope Cruz. I could be wrong about that.
Which is so weird that they have the same last name.
It's so weird. But so in Vanilla Sky, Tom Cruise's character, don't remember his name, doesn't matter. It's Tom Cruise. He looks the same in everything.
He always just plays himself in every movie anyway.
Yeah, basically. He is a very rich and wealthy person. And due to a really kind of scary moment with a woman who is starting to stalk him, he gets into a really terrible accident. And as you're going, and spoilers, if you want to watch this movie, skip ahead a minute. This is one of those situations where, because of technology, they are able to take his consciousness and put it into a dreamlike state where he is continuing down this path of living the life that he expected. When he got into that car accident, he turned into potato. And it was Potato Tom Cruise from then on. And going into the rest of the film, you were watching his consciousness exist in a digital form in this world of dreamlike state. So when we talk about having like eidetic memory to the point of pinpoint accuracy with zeros and ones, thanks to hard drives, we are going to have to learn how to develop software to compartmentalize stuff like that, to compartmentalize trauma, to be able to seal that stuff off until we actually decide that it's something to deal with, or just completely wipe it all together. Because things like that are the reason we have bad situations that cost human life. And those restraints, memory is the thing that saves us from doing the worst harm to ourselves, because we forget so well.
And others. Yeah.
Definitely,
yeah.
Others.
Yeah. I mean, the main reason why we do violence to other people is trauma from our own backgrounds. Usually, yep. Usually neglect and trauma in our own childhoods is the reason that we do violence towards others. Usually.
Somehow, some way, our mushy gray matter between our ears has figured out how to, through years of evolution, supplant bad things with good things and suppress things that are traumatizing, to the point where we have had entire fields of science developed around coping with the thing that our gray matter is trying to suppress and coming to terms with it.
Right.
So the idea of sticking something in our head that will, like a brain dance from Cyberpunk, to be able to recall exactly what happened in the moment of it happening, it's no wonder when you go into that first brain dance with V and you go through what do they call it? The stick up, the robbery,
the robbery
at the scene. Convenience store, at the bodega, and you get killed, and V, you know, almost rips off the brain dance unit and freaks out because he feels everything that is going on in that moment. It is no wonder that things like that are being sold on the black market for people that want that kind of a smut, for lack of a better term at the moment.
Yeah.
So it's scary. It's really, really scary. And I think it is exactly the thing that it becomes in Cyberpunk, where it starts to become an underground thing. People are starting to do it because there is a market for it. There's a market for rich people wanting to experience those kind of things without the fear of actually having to do with it. If you want a great example of this, go read Ready Player 2, where they actually dive into living through the memories of other people, experiencing other people's love and being able to experience other people's persuasions, so that the idea of having bisexual relationships or homosexual relationships for a heterosexual person becomes normalized to the point where there's no concern about why it doesn't make sense, because they have emotionally felt the same things that other people. So when we start to get to the point where memories are locked into ones and zeros, it is going to be a very traumatic shift in the paradigm that is humans as a whole right now, which is why it's interesting to dive into that subtly with Cyberpunk 2077, because the themes are starting to come out. People are starting to understand what this means, and they're using that to their advantage through this game. But we're not too far from that kind of a thing. Humans can already kind of do this with eidetic memory, but we just have to figure out how to transfer it to hard drives.
Yeah, it's so weird. So like, this is the whole thing about this whole concept of AI and personhood, is that the AI gets closer and closer and closer to human, while the humans get further and further and further from human. Potentially.
I can see it.
Like the more that we combine ourselves with technology, the more we risk losing the things that make us human. The more we risk burning out the emotional centers of our brains, the more we risk destroying our ability to, like, you take something like Altered Carbon, and you look at, say, the story of Altered Carbon in the first season is that the wealthy have lived these long lives, and nothing stimulates them anymore. They can't, they can't empathize with anybody because they can't identify with the common man anymore, because they've lived 300 years and nothing is interesting anymore.
The fear of death no longer gives them a sense of value.
Right.
Like when you have everything, when you have money, life, nothing else holds value. So you start to dabble with the dangerous, and that's when you start playing around with what the thing that seems so intangible for others, where its immortality is so tangible for you. Then what does one life matter if you have three or four lives in your existence?
Right. And potentially infinite, you know, and we already see this in society. This is the curse of the young and famous. When you become rich and famous at a young age, what else is there? You've achieved so much.
If you want to go to space like Bezos, you can go to space Bezos.
It's the same kind of thing. It's the reason why Bezos is going to space, right? But it's also the reason why, you know, somebody like Justin Bieber, and this is, I'm just picking a name out of a hat. You could pick any of them, but it's the reason why young famous people go through periods of trauma in their lives where they have to go to rehab, and they deal with it because you get all this money, you get all this fame, you can have any relationship with anybody that you want, you can have any drugs, you can have any amount of wealth. Like, there's nothing left to chase. You can have any experience, you can go anywhere on the planet, you can do there's no other goals left to achieve. What else is there to do? Nothing. You know, like, yeah, you could shoot for that next, you know, triple platinum album, but really, like, what else is exciting out there? Like, and you just burn yourself out.
This is the principle behind Star Trek, where we have accomplished world hunger. We have accomplished economics.
We have world hunger. We've solved it, right?
We've accomplished the sense of taking care of the problem. We've developed replicators. we've
starved everybody.
everyone is dead. We're all holograms. It's all in the hologram. That's actually a theory. Think about this. Oh, totally. There's a theory that Star Trek is all just a hologram. But
there's a theory that our own existence is all hologram. And some very prominent scientists think that that's actually more than 50% likely.
Oh no, I can totally see the reasoning behind that. So we're going to have to go over the Matrix at some point too. I feel like the Matrix is on the docket at some point. But the idea with Star Trek is that when all of society doesn't have to worry about food, doesn't have to worry about money, doesn't have to worry about healthcare, what happens? And that was when ingenuity, that's when art and science really excel. And that's what got us from the interstellar or intersolar system travel to interstellar travel, where we went from solar system, quadrant to quadrant. And it was no longer a matter of how do we keep ourselves alive. It was more like, where else can we go and discover things? And that was always a really interesting prospect, because we have two halves with Cyberpunk. It is always the fear of what happens when we have the worst idea come to fruition, when we've achieved the thing that is the scariest idea with AI, with power, with the lack of life, or the lack of value towards life. And we just kind of live in this idea of, you know, the rich become richer and things like that. And then we have the opposite, which is like the Star Treks, and where everything is potentially the best because we've prevailed over, disputes over things like religion. We've prevailed over issues like world hunger and economics. We've figured that all out. And it's things like having different levels of AI are going to help us get to a point where we're comfortable with coming to these different situations in our society, having things help us from day to day to give us more time to be able to do things like a podcast, because I don't have to think about, you know, how am I going to wash the dishes? I've developed a system to be able to do that. And I can set a timer through an AI to make sure that that goes off. I can also set the timer on the AI to make sure that my coffee maker goes off so that when I wake up, I have my cup of coffee ready so that I can get through the day.
You just need and a break. Make sure that
Yeah, you go see Brendan. You chat with Brendan while you're having your coffee. You don't need to go out to spend time with your friends. You got Brendan right there.
Right. That's all you need. You just need a Brendan. Yeah. He'll just serve you your coffee. He'll be your best friend. And then he can do dishes too. You can add a little add-on extension for dishes.
He's got the best jokes too.
Yeah, best jokes.
Best jokes.
Well, we're running out of time. I think this is the interesting dynamic of the whole thing, is the whole like AI becoming more human while humans become less human. And then there's, of course, the danger of the greatest threat to humanity is the fact that we could potentially create an AI, like we discussed before, that seeks self-sustaining. It seeks to protect itself and then determines that we are the greatest threat to its existence because we might turn it off. And then it removes us, and now we're living in the Terminator future, and or the Matrix.
Yeah, the Matrix. Yeah,
and that's the worst future. And then all of a sudden, human beings are removed, and this opens up one of the Fermi paradox concepts that like this is why we haven't come across intelligent life, is because all intelligent life eventually gets to the point where it creates AI, and the AI supplants it and has no need to explore the stars, and so therefore, we never come across other intelligent life. So this just becomes one of the other ideas. But I'd love to hear our listeners' thoughts. Let us know on the Robots Radio Discord what your thoughts are about this stuff. Should we be exploring AI? Should we be investing in science to understand what the correct kinds of AI are in order to make sure that we don't create these mistakes, in order to focus on science that leads us in a direction that goes more towards Star Trek and less towards cyberpunk? How do we get to the Star Trek future and not the cyberpunk future, or not the Matrix future? So leave some comments for us. You guys know how to reach us. You got anything else going on, Logan, that you want to share before we head out?
I do have a silly question for the cyberpunk fans out there. I would love for them to tell me, which would you be worried about first? Us replicating dinosaurs and having dinosaurs come back, or us inventing AI that tries to turn us all into batteries? Let me know which future is more scary to you, Jurassic World or The Matrix 3?
The Matrix. I'm going with The Matrix. Totally.
I don't want to be eaten by dinosaurs, dude. I'll be honest.
I think The Matrix is the more likely scary scenario, but dinosaurs would be cooler.
I don't know, man. I you get enough tinfoil on your head, you should be fine, right?
Tinfoil on your
head. Yeah. Right, what is a dinosaur going to do with the tinfoil? Make you into a potato? You're going to be walking around like Tom Cruise for the rest of your life?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want that bad. I don't want to be anything like Tom Cruise. Have I made fun of Tom Cruise like two or three weeks in a row so far?
I don't think, no. We haven't made fun of him.
Was that a different podcast?
Sorry, it might have been a different podcast. You know what? It doesn't matter. There's not enough making fun of that man to fix his teeth. It doesn't matter.
Oh, no. Yeah. His teeth. See, they're really, he's so wealthy. Just fix your teeth.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, you got anything else you want to share before we go?
It's International Talk Like a Pirate Day. I hope you guys got a chance to go sailing out. Keelhauled is kicking up a new episode this week. I got to sit down with a buddy of mine, CJ Superpack from the Player One podcast. Or if you ever read any magazine back in the day, you probably wouldn't have read one of his reviews. So he and I sit down to talk about horde modes that should be made for Sea of Thieves.
Aren't we going underwater soon? Isn't there like an underwater thing coming?
Yeah, I guess we're doing that too. Fine, we're going underwater as well too. So I hope you're, I hope you watched Little Mermaid. We're going to go find Eric's statue somewhere in a grotto and tell Daddy that it's not fair that you can't fall in love with a land person.
Under the sea.
Under Tom, what the do you sea. Got?
Do, 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 do. Don't take it from me.
Do, 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 do.
Do a little crab dance with my maracas. That's a thing, right? That happens in, I don't know. I haven't seen the movie forever.
Tom, you got another show going on. What are you doing later?
Yeah, we're doing the Mass Effect Lorecast coming up next in just about 19 minutes. And so I'm going to set up for that. And we also have a bunch of shows on the robotsradio.net website. You can go check that out. I've got a whole bunch of shows all over the place. So
all the shows.
I've got all the shows. If there's a Lorecast out there, there's a significant chance it's mine. And if it's not mine, it's probably one of the other shows on the network. So you should go check it out. We do shows about all sorts of cool video games with lore to be discussed. So go check that stuff out. I've also been playing a lot of Deathloop. That game's pretty awesome. If you want to hear us talk about Deathloop, we do it before the show. So if you're a patron, you'll get that part of the show in the pre-show patron bonus talk. Yay. Yay. And we debate about the longevity of the game, but it's a pretty cool game. So
yeah,
we'll see what's going on with that. But stay tuned for the Mass Effect Lorecast, guys. Thank you for tuning in again. We'll see you next week for our patron episode. And until then, stay safe in Night City. We'll see y'all guys later. Bye. Did I say you all guys later? Oh, well.
It's a thing.
Thanks for tuning in to the Cyberpunk Lorecast. This show is a part of the Robots Radio Network, smart podcasts for interesting people. If you'd like to help support the show, please tell a friend and leave a 5-star review on iTunes. If you'd like to get in contact, please send an email to cyberpunklorecast@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter @cyberpunklore. Also, join the community on the Robots Radio Discord. The link is in the show notes. The music on the show was written and performed by The Midnight and was used with their permission. Go check them out at themidnightofficial.com. Until next time, stay safe in Night City. We'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Looking for an RPG podcast that isn't just D&D?
Roll to Cast is the answer.
No, wait, sorry. What games have we played so far?
Well, we've done Cyberpunk 2020.
What does it mean to have a voice?
And there's going
to
be something big coming, Chumba.
Hey, if you're listening, I won. I beat you. You suck.
There was a time when we were slamming things against our phones and...
Vampire the Masquerade.
Chloe, Sam.
You can't use those words!
He's going to grab Vincent, press him against the wall.
I mesmerize him.
This is Adelaide's Anarch movement.
First out of your chair, your hand goes to your gun and you draw.
Hulk Cthulhu.
Told you I had it.
Oh, we've all got the creeps going. I love it so much.
All right there.
Screechy child.
My favorite daughter.
Maybe after what we just seen, we're feeling a bit trigger happy.
And the new Cyberpunk Red.
Babe, you're good,
but better.
Thought maybe you might be able to give me a counter off.
Dos for Danya.
Straight through his neck.
I don't see bone either, but I'm not gonna look.
My leg's fine.
I always knew you wanted to fly, kid. Come find me.
Roll to Cast.
R-O-L-E.
A new game every season.
Original music.
Original stories.
Interviews with the creators.
And delightful Aussie accents.
Listen to us on all good podcatchers.
You can support us on Patreon for bonus content.
That's Roll to Cast.
R-O-L-E.
Come discover a new world.
Following is a public service announcement from the Starter Set Dungeons & Dragons podcast. This is your D&D campaign. This is the Starter Set podcast.
You know how like poison frogs don't lick each other's backs?
So it's Howl's Moving Castle with a face.
Hey there, I'm Great Mandibles.
Because one of the party speaks abyssal. You're all going to die.
And then adventure falls into your lap. Plop.
This is your D&D campaign after listening to the Starter Set podcast. So join Sam and Ed every Friday on the Starter Set podcast for prime Dungeons & Dragons content. Any questions?
When a wasteland detective and a vault girl cross paths, no criminal is safe.
You're both under arrest.
Don't move a muscle if you know what's good for you.
Based in Bethesda's Fallout series, follow Walter and Bunny as they traverse the Texas Commonwealth and New Vegas, busting big crime rings.
We'll need all we can to expand into Vegas territory.
And surviving anything the wasteland can throw at them.
It's him! It's the Mothman!
Featuring a series of nail-biting narratives and guest stars from across the Fallout community. It's anybody's guess what thrilling case is up next.
War never changes, does it, Bunny?
No, it certainly does not.
True Vault Escapades, a Fallout audio drama, available anywhere you get podcasts.